good to see kids serve God. Amen. And we're not done yet. I'm going to preach here in a minute, and I won't keep you too long, but we're going to give these kids an opportunity to testify or quote some scripture or even read it. We gave them that opportunity this weekend. We want them to know it's okay for them to get up and do something for God, to tell what God has done in their lives. It doesn't just have to be an adult to do that. So I believe Miss Molly is going to come read some scripture for us or quote it to us first.
So Proverbs 11:3 says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness or transgressors shall destroy them. And then John 3:16
like to. You want to come say a verse? Yes, sir. Come on up here. Yeah, there you go. Just turn around there.
Exodus 20:3-5:8-7-8 Moses 7:2 Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy Father in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, his wife, or his manservant, or his maidservant, or his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. Exodus 20:3-5:8-7-8-12-17
He's got me there. I was like, preach. That step on some toes right there. Amen. Good, great job, Caden. Amen. Would anybody else like to give a testimony or read a verse? Yes, ma'am. Great. She read that at the youth camp the other day, and man, I about come out of my shoe tops. Mm. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, sure. Yes, ma'am, sure. That simple little testimony is just as powerful as anyone I've ever heard. Because God did the same work in that little heart as he's done in anybody's. And I praise God for that. Anybody else want to read a verse, give a testimony? Yes, ma'am.
Table before me in the presence of my name.
thankful for that. I saw some other hands. Miss Anna, would you like to give a testimony or say a verse? We're being preached to right now, church. Yeah. Amen. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
I actually have a testimony.
Yes, so, please.
One time on a Sunday morning, my dad was preaching on salvation. And, I came down to the altar, and I was convicted. And my mom came and was like, what do you want to do? And I was like, I want to get saved. So after church that morning, when everybody had left, Anna and Caleb were outside, my mom and dad led me to the Lord, and I was 5 years old.
Amen. Anybody else? It don't have just to be kids. There's a witnessing encounter right there. Wow. Amen. Amen. Netcaster. Amen. They are hearing more than you think, church. Amen. They may be, and not you all, but just kids in general, playing, drawing, playing with toys during church, but they're soaking it in. And they're little, and when they get saved, I mean, God wants to use them now. And we'll see that in the message. That anybody else before we get started today? Or if there's nothing else, let's open the Word of God to Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. I'll do my best to be mindful of time, but also we don't have church tonight, so I'm not in that big of a hurry, but we'll find the middle ground there. I'll try not to be too long, but not push myself. We'll just get in God's Word and allow Him to speak to us today. I'm going to begin by reading Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 1. When you find your place, please stand in reverence to the holy word of God. It's only one verse that we will begin reading at first. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 1. The Bible says, remember now. These come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And I want to preach this morning on the thought, remember thy Creator. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that you would empty me of men and fill me with the sweet Holy Ghost today. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to preach in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. Lord, I pray that you would allow me to preach way beyond my ability, so it can be said when all things are done that God spoke today. Lord, I pray you'd open our ears to hear what you have to say to us today. And I pray, God, if there be anybody in our midst today that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, oh, what a day. What a day to make things right with you. I pray you'd convict them of their sins and not let them leave this place without getting right with you. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you so much for how you've worked and moved and used these children today. And I pray, God, that you would so bless them, this wet their effort, give them a burden and a desire to serve you more, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And before I get into it, thanks to the children, teenagers, everyone that participated today. It could not have went any better. You all did so good. I thank you. I'm jealous of Miss Molly's reading ability. That was really, really good. And all everyone else but that participated, man, just bless my heart. I'm probably going to cry the whole time. It just blesses me to see youth serve God young and continue that. That's what's cool, and you need to know that. That's what Brother Chris talked about yesterday morning, fitting in with the Lord, not with the crowd. So thank you all so much. And thank you, leaders, everybody that was involved, helped me this weekend. It's a group effort. I definitely couldn't have done it alone. But as we dig into the message here, as we think about remembering thy Creator, before we get into this passage of Scripture, a lot of time when somebody is speaking to you, or somebody, especially maybe as a kid or a teenager, when I was younger, somebody was telling me something, at least in my mind, I would never say it, but I was thinking, why should I listen to you? I mean, and that may be a question here today. So I want to give the credentials of Solomon, the man who's speaking to us today in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And I'll get through this as quickly as I can. You don't have to turn to these scriptures with me. I'm going to fly through them, but I want us to look at his background. Where this wisdom that we have in Ecclesiastes 12 that we're dealing with today, where it all stems from. This isn't a man who lived a perfect life and was upstanding, the best Christian there was, but this was a man who tried it all. And at the end of his life, after trying it all, we see today that the God's way is the only way that we need to do things. And we see that in his credentials here. First, we see he had wisdom. We see this in Ecclesiastes 1, 13 through 18. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under the sun, under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vain and all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I commune with my own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge, and I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. So we see here a man who literally was the wisest man to ever live. God said, Solomon, what do you want? You want fame? You want riches? You want victory over your enemies? Or do you want wisdom? And Solomon said, I want wisdom. And God gave it to him and gave it to him more than he's given to anyone else. He tried wisdom, but he says, vanity and vexation of spirit. Also, he tried wine. Secondly, Ecclesiastes 2:3, the Bible says, I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainted mine heart with wisdom and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. So we see here, he tried wine. What was his response to that? Proverbs 23, 29 through 35. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. And thine eyes shall behold strange women. Thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. So we see Solomon here. He tried. He had wisdom. He tried wine. We see also he had wealth. Ecclesiastes 2:4. He was one of the 4 through 11. I won't read all that for sake of time, but he was one of the richest men to ever live. He had houses. He had manservants, maidservants, orchestras, pools of water. We see in 1 Kings 10:14-15. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 talents of gold. So that's basically, it's believed, anywhere from $4 to $7 million worth of gold in a year at that time. That's a lot of money in 1 year. That's a lot of, and that's just gold. He had a lot of silver and many other things come in as well. Solomon was the wisest king to ever live, but probably one of, if not the richest kings to ever live. So he had wisdom, he tried wine, he had wealth, and also he had many women in his life. 1 Kings 11, 1 through 8. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love, And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. And we'll stop there. But he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. How in the world did he remember everybody's anniversaries? I thought about that last night. He was also the craziest man to ever live, sounds like. So we see here that Solomon had wisdom. He tried wine. He had wealth. He had women. So to this world standard, Solomon had everything. And at the end of Solomon's life, when he tried it all, and when he sat down and thought about what his life had brought, here's what Solomon said to us. It's our text today, and we'll read some more at the end of the chapter later. He says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." That man who tried it all said, we need to remember now our Creator. He said, everything I tried was vanity, vexation of spirit, a waste of time. When we serve God, we give it to God, we remember our Creator. That is where true joy and satisfaction and peace will come from. And then that's what Solomon wanted us to know. I wanted us to see this man's background and know he's speaking from experience. He's looking back and saying, I wish I could have done differently. And the Lord has put in his word, he said, these things are written for our remembrance, for our learning, so that we can learn from the mistakes of Solomon. So as we think about remembering thy Creator, the first thing I want to point out in this passage of Scripture, the beginning of verse number 1, we see the command. We see the command in verse number 1. It says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. So as we look at that section of Scripture, the first thing I want to point out is the person that we are focusing on here. The person. It says, remember now thy Creator. Thy Creator. This person we see here, he is the sovereign. He is Jesus Christ. Our Creator is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 1, verses 1 through 4, in the beginning was the Word. That's referring to Jesus. We see here that he is pre-existent. Before time ever was, there was Jesus. He was pre-existent. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So he was coexistent with God in the beginning, before time began. And the Word, verse number 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. We see, remember now thy Creator. So basically, remember now Jesus is what the Bible is telling us. Same beginning with God, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And we see here his self-existence. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. So he was pre-existent, co-existent, and self-existent. We need things to sustain us. We need life to be given to us. But see, Jesus did not. He is the life giver. We see here he is our Creator. He is our sovereign. When we think of this person that is being referred to in Ecclesiastes 12:1, he is our sovereign, but thank God, he is our Savior as well. John 1:5 says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And you say, Pastor Tyler, that's a weird verse to use for thinking of him as our Savior. Well, that verse there means, and the light shined in darkness. Later on in that chapter, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten. So we see here Jesus manifested his glory to this world. He was born of the Virgin Mary when she was a virgin. He was born of her. He lived a perfect sinless life. He did not do anything wrong. This morning in Netcasters, our job, we were learning about how to help sinners understand their sin and what they've done wrong. But with Jesus, we're looking at a man who never did anything wrong. He never had a bad attitude. He never backtalked his mom and dad. He never said a bad word. He never took God's name in vain. He never lied. He never stole. He never did anything wrong at all. He was perfect. And yet, because because it was God's plan from the foundation of the world, because the Bible says a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and because of he was threatening the Pharisees and the high ups of the day, he was nailed to a rugged cross. And they thought they were putting him away, but they didn't realize that was all a part of the plan of God. God had made that plan. That's why Jesus set foot on this earth. He died on the cruel cross of Calvary, a perfect man having done nothing wrong but suffered the greatest act of cruelty ever committed. And he did it for me. He did it for all these that have given testimonies today. He knew one day that these little ones would need a Savior. He knew one day that their eyes would be opened to who they were apart from Him and where they would go if they didn't get saved. And He, like the Bible says, with the joy that was set before Him, Miss Molly, he looked at the cross and He knew the pain was coming, but He saw you and He did it with joy in His heart. He saw me and He did it with joy in His heart. He saw all you believers and every believer that would ever live. He saw you and He looked past the cross and knew that there would be joy on the other side. He knew that you would place your faith in Him. He knew that your sins would be forgiven when you did that. And He knew one day you would get to spend eternity in heaven with Him forever. He did it for the joy that was set before Him. But no, He didn't just die. I thank God, because if all He did was die, we wouldn't be here preaching today. But I thank God He was buried, and 3 days later He raised again, proving that everything He said was true, validating He was the Son of God, and validating now that we know that when we die, we're going to go to spend eternity with Him in heaven forever. I thank God He's our sovereign. I thank God He's our Savior. And that's who we need to remember today. That's who we're looking at here in this passage of Scripture, our sovereign and our Savior. So when you see that in this passage, that is who it's referring to. We see the command, we see the person that we're seeing here, our sovereign and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But we also see the precept here. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. The key word, remember. What's that word mean? Well, really, give your life to Jesus while you're young. Just give your life to Him. Surrender your life to God. That's basically what that means. Just give it to Him. That's all He asks. That's what Solomon says. He says, I've lived the life. I've done it all. I've got the T-shirt. But he says, what you need to do when he's speaking to young ones, I bet he did of the day, remember now thy Creator. Give God your life now while you're young. The precept is to remember. The precept is to give God your life. And in so doing, what we see there, through first salvation. And this is kind of been the thread all weekend. The first step, if you're going to remember your Creator, if you're going to give your life to God, if He's going to use you in a special way and do great things that He wants to do with your life, it's going to begin with repenting of your sin, placing your faith in Him. It's going to begin with you doing what the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We had two do that this weekend, but is there anybody here in the building today that maybe right now God's opening your eyes to the fact that you're a sinner, and if you died right now, you'd split hell wide open, and you'd be there for all eternity. But thank God Jesus died for you too. He didn't just die for me. He didn't just die for all the adults, but He died for every person that would ever live. So that if they would repent of their sins and place their faith in Him, He would save them. That's the first step. We'll see it here in a moment later on in the chapter, but we can't fulfill our purpose until we first are saved by the grace of God. We've got a great purpose for our life, but it cannot be recognized or used until we're saved. Do you know Jesus? Is there any adults or children in the room that don't know Him? Don't leave here today without making things right. It's as easy as just calling upon His name and asking Him to. He's done all the work. So many religions of the world say you got to do things to get it and got to do things to keep it, but I thank God true Christianity says it's done. Jesus did it all, and all you've got to do is place your faith in Him. He'll do the rest. You got to be saved. It's through salvation, but then through surrender. Through surrender, God, see, God, the Lord Jesus is a perfect gentleman. He will not, number one, make you get saved, and He will, number two, not make you surrender to Him. He will not force you to do anything. He wants you to choose to serve and love Him. He wants you to do it. And see, when you do it even in at least a little bit, and that's why I've prayed today, as you've stepped out in faith and done things that maybe made you nervous, I prayed that when you did that God would so swell up peace and joy and happiness in your heart. I remember the times when I was little and I was scared to death and I was ready to kill my mom because she made me do something I didn't want to do in church. But when I did it, at the end of it, when it was all over, I immediately welled up with such a peace and a joy and a happiness and almost burst into tears in that moment, because that was God saying, hey, this is what you're here for. This is what you're supposed to do. This is why you're here, to serve me, to love me. And God wants to use you. He wants to use all of you now. And we'll talk more about that here in a moment. Not when you're older, but right now. You've got to surrender. You've got to present your bodies, a living sacrifice. You've got to do it. Mama, your mom and dad can't do it. Your brother and sister can't do it. Your grandma and grandpa can't do it. If they could, they would, but they can't. You've got to say, Lord, give it to you. I can't imagine if a little one that's saved by the grace of God would say that. We think, well, they're just little. God can't use them. God can use them. If he wouldn't have saved them when he did, he didn't plan on using them. God wants to use you, kids, teenagers, adults. God wants to use you. But you've got to be saved, and you've got to surrender to him. And if you'll surrender to him, the third part we see here, through salvation, through surrender, through service. When you surrender to him, he'll put you to work. Like Brother Daniel said, that's the funnest work there is. Sometimes some of the most tiring, sometimes some of the hardest, but it's definitely the most joyous. Because I was exhausted this week. But it was one of those Jesus situations where he hadn't ate all day, and they're thinking, how's he still going right now? He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. I was running on some spiritual food this weekend, and I thank God for that. And when you serve God, you'll be able to do that. He'll empower you. He'll help you. Bless you. So we see the person is our sovereign and our Savior. The precept is to remember through salvation, surrender, and service. Now, thirdly, the point in time. Look what it says. Remember, first, now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Now, I'm not going to let all you adults off the hook just yet, because the Bible says first, remember now thy Creator. You say, well, Brother Tyler, I definitely ain't no youth. I don't feel young at heart, so that don't apply to me. Well, the Bible says here, remember now thy Creator. You may say, well, I've wasted my life. I've not lived for God as I should up until this point in my life. Well, guess what Solomon says to you? Guess what God says to you today? Remember now thy Creator. Remember now. Get saved now. Surrender to God now. Serve God now. No more excuses. God has you here today, if you're saved by the grace of God, no matter how old you are, to use you now. It's about time we quit, young and old, using age as an excuse not to serve God. God's got you here for a purpose, to use you now, but you've got to surrender to him. So to the adults, the command is spacious. Now, it's for everyone, not just the young ones. But also the command is very specific too. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. So for you young ones, just like the adults, remember now your Creator. Remember now. Serve God now. Love God now. I mean, God can do great things in your young lives if you'll just give them to him now. He won't make you, but he can use you if you'll surrender to him. I can assure you of that. So we see there the point in time. So that is the command, but also the certainty that we see in this passage of Scripture. Second half of verse 1 to verse 8. We see the Bible says, well, with the second half of the verse, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Wherever the silver cord be loose, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, saith the preachers, all is vanity. So what's the certainty? Well, first, in regards to salvation, there's going to come a point, one of two things are going to happen. There's going to come a point where you're going to reject God enough where he's going to be done with you. Now, I've not seen that much, but I've seen it. It's a scary place. I mean, God doesn't owe us anything. You think, well, he dealt with me last week. He'll have to deal with me again next week. No, he won't. There comes a point in time where you say no to God enough, or he's done with you. Or you'll say no to God enough, and your heart will be so hardened that you won't be able to hear his voice, which is basically a very similar situation. But there will come a time when you can't. I mean, that's a possibility if you reject God enough in regards to salvation. So do not reject the Lord. Do not say no to him if he's dealing with you to get saved. You say, well, I can do it next week. No, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week, not when you get older, but today. We have no idea what the next 2 hours holds, much less the next day. Get right with God while you can, because there may be a time when you can't. And there definitely will be a time if you reject God enough when the rapture happens and you're left here and you've heard the gospel preached, you cannot, as Pastor Daniel said, at that point, punishment and catastrophes the world has ever known. Not only in regards to salvation, but also in service, and I believe that's what this passage is referring to. Solomon is saying, give your life to God while you're young, because there's going to come a time where you can't serve God anymore or as good as you would like to. I mean, kind of what this passage of Scripture is saying, I learned yesterday, I can't play ball like I used to. I feel it. I tried it, and it hurts. That same way with serving God. That's why God gives you the energy and the passion and the joy and the abilities and everything that he's given you at this age to use for him now. So you all can do things for God that maybe I can't do. And us adults as well, we're still here, because it talks there about death, and there will come a time when we die and we can't serve God anymore. But God wants to use us now. We may not be able to do it like we used to could, but that don't need to be an excuse not to serve him. We need to do it with all we've got, the best we can for the rest of our lives. And kids, teenagers, serve God now while you've got the energy, the desire, the fire. Man, the energy, if I could have half the energy that we had in all these kids this weekend, man, I'd be bouncing off the walls. And that's why the Lord wants to use you now, because you've got all you need to be powerful for God if you'll just surrender to him right now. But once again, he won't make you do it. So we see the command and we see the certainty. There's going to come a day when you can't. But finally, the conclusion. Flip to verse 13 with me there. The Bible says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So at the end of his life, he said the sole purpose for us being on planet Earth, our obligation, our duty as humans is to keep his command, fear God and keep his commandments. That's why we're here. That's why you got to be saved. You can remember we talked about earlier, you can't fulfill your purpose. Your purpose is to love God, to serve God, to glorify God. You cannot do that until you get saved by the grace of God. But when you're saved by the grace of God, your life has the highest purpose it could possibly have, and it's to bring glory to the God of the universe, to bring glory to our sovereign, to bring glory to our Savior. There could be no higher calling. There could be no higher purpose. And when you're saved, that is why you're here. That is why you all are here today. If you're saved by the grace of God, and you're here, and you're alive, and you're breathing air, and it looks like nobody's dead, then your calling purpose is to bring glory to Jesus Christ. And we can have no greater joy. But will we do it? I want to leave you with a couple questions. Do you want your life to have purpose? Then give it to God. Do you want your life to have prosperity? Not riches, but God blessing you and God meeting your needs. And a lot of times prosperity is not monetarily. When we think prosperity, we think gold and cash and cars and clothes. No. True prosperity is God's anointing and God's blessing and God's touch and God's help on a life. You want prosperity, the prosperity of God in your life? Give it to him. Give your life to God. And finally, do you want your life to have peace? Give it to God. If you you're, if everything you do, no matter where you're at, your mind's on your one true high calling, to remember your Creator, to love Him, to serve Him, man, the peace you can have. It may be crazy around you. You may be getting persecuted terribly, but you can be like Paul and Silas in that jail, beaten half to death, but singing praise because they are fulfilling their purpose. And the peace you can have in your life. But you've got to first be saved, and then you've got to surrender. But if you'll do those things, man, what God can do with you. And not just you children, adults alike. Surrender to Him today. Fully. Completely. And do things that you couldn't even ever imagine. But you've got to make that decision. With every head bowed.